All right, hey, everybody. This is Scoot, and this is going to be an interesting tale of the tape. I'm going to have to really, I don't know, it'll be interesting. So this is a Game of Thrones tale of the tape, because I haven't prepped for the new season by rewatching anything. And because it's the close of the season, I was wondering if I could do in like a 50-minute span, like go through all the seasons of what I remember, like, and see what comes out of that, because that should be pretty sleepy, based on my memory alone, unless I get really, like, so right now I haven't looked anything up, but at some point I could pause it and say, first off, how many seasons have there been? I'm guessing 6 so far, but it could be 7 or it could be 5. So what we'll do is we'll go through and kind of look at, we'll just kind of go through things and meander. It'll be a meandering recall of what happened in over the history of the show, and I guess it gives me about 8 minutes a season, depending on how many seasons there are. Though it could be between seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6. Oh boy! So season one was, of course, a couple more things. I guess one is, like, one of the nice things about Game of Thrones is that despite all the complexities of everything and the pomp and circumstance and the drama and the action, it really is just these human stories. And a lot of it is like a family, and even the little kids that live inside us based, at least in my opinion, and that it is a show about family dynamics, which is actually how the first season starts off. So I guess that is a good transition, because it does start off, I believe, first off with the dynamics of two different families. So episode one, we meet the Starks. Three different families. And I guess the greater political families. But so, yeah, so season one starts off, we meet the Starks. And again, I don't know, I know how the kind of the beginning and towards the end of the show. I don't really know of the season, but so it starts off. We meet the Starks, and we meet what's his name? Papa Stark. If you're a stickler for Game of Thrones, you're going to be in for it. And you know, eventually, I remember it. We meet, actually, even in the teaser, we meet Benjen, I think, which doesn't pay off again until recently. And I remember reading that in the book, so we see Benjen, then the show opens, then we meet the Stark family, maybe, and Ned Stark, actually, thank goodness I remembered that, Catelyn and Ned, oh boy, the Stark family, they live in the north, Winterfell, Ned lives by code, we learn he's a kind father. We learn that there's a family dynamics. We learn that John is a half son, or whatever you call it. They have other words for it, but he's a Snow. And we see the dynamics between, who do we got in there? We got little Ricky, Rickard, the three-eyed raven, Bran, Arya, Sansa. The dude that was king, I forget his name. I want to call him Richard. Maybe he played King Richard at some point. I'll eventually remember his name. Jon Snow and old Leonard, the Forgotten Stark. That was like that you say. Wasn't there one more Stark son? Yeah, Leonard. Everybody forgets about Leonard. Rickard, it was cute, the cute one. You know, Bran was the one where he said, there's something more to Bran than I know. So those were the Star kids, I believe. And the kid, he was king in the north. That's season two. So we've learned the family dynamics. They get their puppies. And we see Catelyn and Ned. There's something strained there. Maybe we get some hints back to the past. I don't know. So we meet the Starks. Eventually, also in the beginning of the season, I don't know about the episodes, but then we meet the what is their last name? Baratheons. Robert, we find out Robert Baratheon's king. He's coming to see Ned to make Ned his hand. We find out his hand has gone to the big farm. We meet Cersei. We meet, I don't know if we meet Tommen and Tommen's sister. That's a good question. Great question. I don't know. Jaime, Lannister, and Joffrey. We definitely meet Joffrey. And we start to get a sense of their dynamics early in the season. We get Cersei's and Robert's dynamics. And that Robert's a bit of a, like, not good at governing, good at winning governance, but not good at governing. We get backstory about the three tridents or whatever the heck it was. And we learn about Cersei and Jaime, then Bran, you know, takes a spill. We start to learn these other characters, the Hound, Ilyn Payne. So we just get some dynamics. We get the Joffs, not that great. So we start to see that sort of strain, and then they head towards, some of them head towards King's Landing with King Robert. Now, meanwhile, at some point, we meet the Khaleesi, the future Khaleesi, who's like we start to learn that she's one of the Targaryens, or we meet her brother, who's briefly like cuts a jib like Cillian Murphy a little bit. And he's not likable either. Also, we meet other characters like our good friend Varys. We meet Tyrion. You know, we start to get to know the other Lannisters. Wow, this is more complicated than I thought. So we meet Khaleesi and her brother, the Targaryens. Believe me, I don't know if I'll remember any of that. Then we meet their sponsor, some rich dude whose name definitely I don't have any idea. I probably will remember it at some point. And that, you know, that Khaleesi's brother has grand plans of returning as a triumphant Targaryen. And then we meet Khal Drogo. I'll just run through Khaleesi season, I guess. And we're here. Then Khal Drogo and Khaleesi marry with her brother's intention of using that to like kind of unify and to get to Khal Drogo's armies. But he doesn't appreciate how like he likes Khaleesi, but not her brother. So he says, you know, you're out. She's a leader. You're not. She's kind. You're not. And I don't know if it was I guess the Khaleesi story, let's just say that it was season one, because I don't know if she becomes a leader in season one or season two, to be honest with you. Again, maybe I could just follow the Khaleesi's journey right now and then go back to the Starks and when I get mixed up. So then the Khaleesi and Khal Drogo, they start to get to know each other. They like each other. He's a horse lord, or the lord of all the horses. And we do learn that she still shares this ambition of saying, well, maybe we do need to go across the sea and to take back my kingdom that's rightfully mine. We also learn that not everybody, there's challengers to the Khal Drogo's throne. And at some point, something happens, and then everything's kind of thrown into disarray because he goes to visit the big farm. Khaleesi tries out some other options to keep him from the big farm. Then we learn that she's a mother of dragons. I don't know if that's like she goes and she's like the phoenix with the two baby dragons. And that kind of seems to solidify her leadership for the most part. There's still, because Khal Drogo only, has his portion of his people. So at some point in this, we also meet Ser Jorah. And then eventually as things move on, we meet whoever that smooth dude is, Dario Naharis or whatever. So yeah, then the Khaleesi over those first couple seasons, she's not the Khaleesi yet. Though I guess at some point she does become a Khaleesi. we get to know Ser Jorah, who's in, you know, seriously imperfect, Dario Naharis or whatever his name is. And then we see the Khaleesi start, I don't know exactly the order of things, because she has to deal with the rest of the Horse Lords. That might be in the Lord of the Rings, though, but she does, where she says, hey, like, I'm your leader. And they say, well, we don't know. And she says, no, no, as a matter of fact, I am. And she pulls a smooth switcheroo on them. But I think earlier on, I wonder what the order is where she starts freeing. I guess it would have been before, but I'm picturing the newer Dario Naharis dealing with Ser Jorah, like with the Horse Lords, but I don't know. She goes to meet with all the Horse Lords. They say, you're not the boss of us. She says, as a matter of fact, I am Misa, mother of all people. And then she solidifies her leadership there. Let's just say that's what happened. Then the Khaleesi moves on to start freeing people under the rule of not working by choice. She meets the great, you know, the interpreter, and then she starts the Unsullied. Then she starts freeing people and dealing with the people that wouldn't keep them free. And they don't like that change. So that's a couple of seasons of her going through these like ups and downs of like, I guess not that difference in Robert trying to lead and trying to take over things. And at some point over that time, Ser Jorah gets fired. Khaleesi really, like, even though she has some ups and downs, she really solidifies her leadership eventually, both by heart and by thorn, or whatever you want to say. She has to, do, you know, keep both in balance. And she also picks up some new, she has Dario Naharis, who, you know, gets to, they say, well, you look different. He says, yeah, well, I'm more handsome now. And I'd say, well, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you are. You're less crafty, more handsome. Tyrion comes to work with her. Varys becomes a part of her crew. I guess, yeah, at some point Varys joins up. I wonder, like, and so those are all delightful parts of seasons. And building towards this idea that eventually she's going to go back and take things over. Like, so yeah, we won't have time to follow Tyrion or Varys' story anyway, I don't think. But they get these new starts with the Khaleesi. And eventually, at the beginning of the previous season, or the end of the season before, she says, let's get some ships. I forgot how she got the ships. But she says, let's get some ships, let's go across the sea, and let's start taking things over, especially she hears about how the leadership's going over there. So she takes over, they go across the sea, and then last season, or over the past two seasons, I don't know which one's which, she comes, she deals with the current leadership, which we'll get to in wherever that place is called, Westeros. And she has her ups and downs, you know, learning to deal with that stuff. Eventually breaks out her dear dragons. And she's dealing with that stuff. But then also she gets called to the north because they say, well, there's a bigger thing to deal with other than just, like, that's kind of how the last season closes. It's like, are you going to deal with the humans or are you going to deal with this other stuff in the north? And eventually, as the season closes, she goes to the north. Her and Jon Snow, as we know, kind of solidify their pact. You say, wait a second, are you two, you know, whatever. We also see a dragon go to the big farm in the sky. I think that was as the season closed. So we see that, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. So I guess that's the Khaleesi's, a little bit of the Khaleesi story. And What is her name, though? Khaleesi, Daenerys Targaryen, so excuse me. But I just call her Khaleesi because that's how, I would like to keep it professional. Okay, so let's go back to the Starks because they had quite the journey. And it'll probably overlap a lot with, who are those other people? Baratheons or, what's the father's name? What's their family name? the dude, Charles Dance, that's his the actor's name. Oh, Lannisters. Okay, so season one, they all go, Robert and Ned, and most of the families, but not the entire families, go back to King's Landing. That's like their Washington, D.C., and Ned's supposed to be working with Robert. Meanwhile, we know there's all these machinations going on. Game of Thrones, you win or you go to the big farm. And we see that Cersei's kind of has other things in mind. Robert's not the best partner anyway, or leader. So then Robert goes to Big Farm, and then Ned says, oh boy, this isn't going to be good for me. Because Ned's like, I live by a code, you know, truth before all things. So he's trying to figure out what the Game of Thrones is, but by the time he figures it out, next thing you know, Baylor, he's in the Big Farm. Faster than you can say Baylor. Now, if my memory serves, Sansa and Arya went with Ned, and we learned during that trip that Joffrey's J-U-R-K, but that Sansa kind of was, at least initially, kind of had this romantic notion about being kings and queens and stuff, as kids do. And so then at the end of that season, we learned Sansa's going to stay with the Lannisters, and Arya hits the road. She actually heads, she's heading to join the Night's Watch. And she also makes a friend who she helps, but I think that's in the second season. So season one closes. Jon Snow's gone to join the Night's Watch in the North at some point too in season one. So I think here's what you got. Like, you got Jon Snow headed to the King's Watch, Night's Watch, you're correct. Catelyn, Rickon, Bran, and the oldest brother, whose name, of course, I can't remember, in King's Land, or in Winterfell, maybe. I guess he's like the head of Winter, like him and his mom are kind of running things. Actually, at some point, the mom, I think she went and then she bailed, maybe right before, and she headed back to where she grew up with Tyrion. Yeah, she took Tyrion with her. Or no, they accidentally just ran into each other at an inn. I think that's season two. So at the end of season one, Arya's like with a crew of people going to the Night's Watch. Jon's at the Night's Watch getting trained. Bran and Rickon are at home. Catelyn's traveling. Ned's in the big farm. And Sansa's with the Lannisters. And so then season two, I wish I could remember that guy's name, the oldest Stark. I almost had it. It's not Robert Stark, though. King whatever. The King in the North, they call him for a little while. So they start up. So he says, I'm going to lead my people in the North against the Lannisters because they, you know, usurped things or whatever. Meanwhile, Catelyn's going back to her hometown to try to get her sister to join her son, and Tyrion has to deal with all that. Arya's having her own adventures with initially all these kids joining, then they join this whatever it's called, I forget, Brotherhood Without Banners, but that's not until that's like, I think the Brotherhood Without Banners was originally Ned Stark's crew. He sent them out to deal with maybe the Mountain and the Hound or something. I don't know. But I think like season two is like the War of the Three Kings or something it's called. So like basically Robert's brother, Stannis Baratheon, and his there's like a lot of other interesting stuff I'm realizing. Is this when we have Loras, right? Is he a Baratheon? He can't be a Baratheon. But whatever, we learn. He's from Highgarden, right? What's their names? Totally forgot about them. But so season two is like Stannis Baratheon wants his brothers. He says, I'm the king because I was like the Baratheon before, you know, I'm older than my brother or something. I also think there's a third Baratheon. Yeah, there is. Oh, for a little while. Yeah, that's right. He's in a relationship with Loras, and I forget his name, though. And he was actually, seemed like he was going to be a good king. And he doesn't, like, so, and then Ned's son is, like, busy taking over the north. Two Baratheons are trying to become king or saying they're king. And, what, like, I guess they make Joffrey king. Joffrey does become king or leader at some point. Though Cersei's queen regent on and off most of the time. And kind of calling the shots. At first it's Charles Dance, what's his name? Lannister, big boss Lannister. So, anyway, first they have to deal with the oldest Stark, whatever his friggin' name is. And I don't know if this is season two or season three. Maybe it spans two seasons, all this stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I think so. So, like, it looks like they're winning, then they're not winning. Eventually, Catelyn makes it back to join her son. Jon Snow's, like, learning the ropes up at Winterfell, or whatever that's called, the Wall, Ice Reach, or whatever the heck, all those places up there. Sansa's trying to make the best of what she can, which includes different, thinking she's going to marry one person, you're getting told what to do, then another person, then initially like she's going to marry Joffrey, getting told to get her brother in line. Meanwhile, Arya, she has an adventure, and she learns from this other dude about, she gets stuck dealing with Charles Dance for a little while, at wherever the mountain's house was, and we kind of see that she's like against him. Then she says, at the end of season three, I think, maybe it's season two, she's met this cool dude. I forgot his name too. Again, I'm just winging this. And again, this is why I make a sleep podcast. My brain doesn't exactly record things in order or in a sensible way. But so she heads to Braavos eventually. Because she had originally learned fencing from a Braavosi. Then she meets this mysterious dude who's one of the faceless people. And because he owes her, like he gives her a coin to go there. So, yeah, I don't know. So then, but at the same time, when that closes out, or as that's about to close out, we also find out that I think this is the end of season three. Catelyn, what's the king's name? King, my brother, Stark. I don't know. Whatever the oldest Stark was with the beard. He's a handsome guy, but he had made some political decisions that weren't so great. And so eventually they need this one bridge that this one old troll runs. And instead of sharing the bridge and his people with them, he sends Catelyn and the king in the north, we'll say, and also his new bride. They all go to the big farm. This is actually, I think Arya finds out about this, and then she's with the Hound. At some point, she hooks up with the Hound, and then she says, forget this whole thing. Maybe this is three and four, because then also at the same time, it gets a little bit more stretched out. So that's kind of Arya's journey a little bit. Then Sansa, she was stuck in the north. So basically in the King's Landing, you get Cersei and Joffrey trying to run things with their advisors and their dad. They're also not that nice to Sansa. Sansa's supposed to get married to Joffrey. Then she's supposed to get married to Loras. Then Joffrey is supposed to marry. Who does he marry? Like, because his wedding is like this big deal. Oh, he's marrying Loras' sister, I believe. Yeah. again, another character's name escapes me. And also at the same time, Jon Snow goes into the North and meets the Northern people who were said they weren't that great. And it turns out they are. So then, whatever, they're defending King's Landing. They send one of the Baratheons to the Big Farm using some undercover method. I think Stannis does that. Then Stannis tries to take King's Landing. He fails. And then, this is definitely sleepy stuff. So then Joffrey goes to marry one of the people from Highgarden. They're not Targaryens. Loras and... these are good questions. So then Joffrey visits Big Farm. We actually get to spend some cool time with the people from Sunspear because everybody's saying at some point Tyrion gets in trouble for one thing, and I think he's like, in trouble for another thing. Eventually Tyrion gets out of trouble because of the dude from Sunspear. Who's one of the coolest, but I don't know his character's name. I know the actor's name, but that's Tyrion. We kind of follow Tyrion's journey. So Joff goes to the Big Farm. Cersei's not happy about it. She doesn't even know who's behind it. Then she puts Tommen in charge. While all that's happening, Sansa gets out of there at some point, and then she ends up, she crosses paths with Brienne of Tarth, who had promised her mother she would look after her daughters and bring them to her aunts, I believe, yeah. So Brienne of Tarth eventually brings Sansa to her aunts. Her aunts, not that great, but that's where Sansa meets Baelish. Also, that's where Arya the Hound and Brienne of Tarth all cross paths. I think this was before Arya broke out. This must have been afterwards, where Arya heads to Braavos. Speaking of Arya, so she goes to Braavos. I think this is probably season 4 in season 5, and she studies at the House of Black and White to become a faceless person. And she's kind of torn as she's learning between becoming an expert at this stuff and losing all semblance of her individuality, because they're kind of like a collective being type group. And there's a lot of mythology there, but eventually Arya figures out, this isn't for me. Or is it? I guess I still didn't understand that. But she learns a lot of the skills, but I don't think she's 100% down to just to have her identity. She still identifies as Stark. So then a cool thing in season 5 or season 6, Arya goes back to that the bridge and the troll. It deals with the troll at the bridge on behalf of her brother and her mom. And then eventually makes her way back to Winterfell. Now Sansa, oh boy, Sansa she had to go from Joffrey to thinking she hung out with Loras, somehow they got her out of because Cersei was kind of keeping her as have you as a bargaining chip. So eventually she got out. Then she had to deal with her aunt, I think. No. Is that first or second? I guess that's, when was that? That's a good question. I'm a little mixed up, but at some point she deals with her aunt. She deals with Baelish. I think before that, so what happened to her when she got away first? Maybe she went back to Winterfell, and is that right? And then eventually the Boltons took over, and she had to deal with Roose Bolton. Now, poor, the other, he's not a Baratheon, is he? I guess we don't have time for every character, but so Sansa ends up having to be married to Ramsay Bolton, who's the worst person. I'm trying to think of many worst people on the show. At least Cersei has some redeeming qualities. Ramsay's one of those characters who's just not redeeming. But so what happens? So eventually, I don't know. I'm trying to think of Sansa's journey because she does. She has to be married to Ramsay. She keeps thinking that the people in the north are loyal. I think she gets out with Brienne of Tarth. Would that be when she goes back to her aunt's place? That kind of makes sense. And then meets up with Baelish. Maybe that's how everything happened. I don't know exactly. And eventually she comes back with Baelish's army. At the same time, let's go into Jon Snow. So is that right? Jon Snow in charge of that? I guess, yeah. So Jon Snow's trying to deal with everything in the north. Then he meets up with Stannis Baratheon after he meets up with the northern people. And I don't even know, yeah, I'm a bit lost. Like, Stannis, I think he tried to recruit the northern people to go to King's Landing? Maybe not. But Stannis ends up, so at some point, I thought he forged a pact with Jon Snow. Maybe he didn't, though. I don't know. And, no, he did. So I'm trying to think how Brienne Tarth got involved, because eventually, how is Brienne Tarth in there? Because she ends up seeing Stannis. But Stannis ends up, helping try to take the north back. Does this sound correct? With Jon Snow and some of the northern people, and it doesn't work well for Stannis. Then Jon Snow's in charge, and maybe with some of the other northern people, I don't know. But eventually Jon Snow tries to take Winterfell back from the Boltons, and then what comes in and saves the day is Sansa with Baelish's army. Sansa comes in and saves the day. Now, maybe that was a message she sent out. I don't know if she was still stuck there. But I think I could see her on a horseback. But whatever. They take back the north. Jon Snow and Sansa. And that's how, a season closes. Because then eventually Arya joins up with them. And then I think last season was spent with, Bran. You're right. So then Bran... Bran, at some point, they have to get out of Winterfell when they lose Winterfell. So Bran, Rickon, they sneak out, and eventually Bran realizes they've got to head north to because he's a three-eyed raven. He keeps having these dreams. I don't know if this is accurate, but so eventually they head north, and Bran actually becomes a three-eyed raven. Three-eyed raven. So eventually they get to Winterfell back. And then Arya comes from her adventures. Oh, the three-eyed raven. So Bran goes north, becomes a three-eyed raven, which gives him powers. And also he realizes there's trouble in the north too. And so he comes back to Winterfell, and they're all trying to figure out how to protect. They say, well, there's this coming from the north with this supernatural stuff. Isn't that more important than our infighting? And then it's kind of last season. It's all of the Starks trying to come together again. The family. The remnants of the family, I guess, try to come together to protect all of Westerosian humanity from this oncoming supernatural threat, and uniting people and working together, getting Khaleesi on board, trying to convince Cersei and them, and leading towards this season where it looks like, oh boy, the odds are stacked against Westerosian humanity. And that kind of catches up where Khaleesi was. So Khaleesi's got Varys, There's also a red woman comes in and out. I'm not sure about that. There's Missande, who's the interpreter, who's my, you know, that's the character that that makes my heart flutter. But there's also Missandra, I think, the red woman, and there's that's another kind of supernatural, and it's trying to tell who, where they're at is really confusing. But so at this point, it looks like the Khaleesi has joined with Jon Snow to try to protect the North. Is where we kind of left off. And then back in King's Landing, Cersei has been through a lot of political Game of Thrones. So she's been playing the Game of Thrones. She says, that's the title of the show. I don't know what everybody says. It's not Game of Dragons. It's not Game of Walkers. It's not Game of Freedom. It's Game of Thrones. Me and Sanis are really the only ones that get this. So she's actually been playing the Game of Thrones the whole time. I mean, now, I wouldn't play with her, by the way. Because then if Cersei's son becomes, Tommen becomes king. And Tommen marries whoever the people are from Highgarden, whose names I can't remember. Then in two seasons ago, maybe this religious movement crops up. Tommen, charismatic, but kind of religious movement. Which threat is another Game of Thrones. You say, well, it's not just in the throne. That's a throne too. Which also becomes, that was the season before last, I think. Because that seems to threaten Cersei's power. And so towards the end of that season, Cersei pushes all her chips in on Game of Thrones. She says it's the name. Again, the game of the show isn't Game of Parents. It's not Game of Mom. It's not a game of fair. It's Game of Thrones. And that's how that season ends. She says to Tom and his new wife, the charismatic religious movement, and they play by their own rules too. She says to them, I think it backfired on her. I think she tried to use that religious movement, but she's got a lot of crafty people working for her too. But she says this is Game of Thrones, pushes all her chips in again. And as the season, last season progressed, at least initially, she was in the throne. She had her own crown. She was in charge. She was putting Jaime to work. Jaime was torn, of course. But then she was playing Game of Thrones with the Khaleesi until the Khaleesi was pulled north. And she was working with that Reaver dude, Euron. And she has a mad scientist. She has a blue-faced man working for her. Jamie's also very, I don't know who the most tragic character is that's made it through all seven seasons. I mean, you got a lot to pick from. And I don't mean like heroism and tragedy. I mean, just pure tragedy. I mean, say like Ser Jorah, Jaime Lannister. Seriously, she might be too unredeemable to be tragic, I guess. Who are the other most tragic characters? There's got to be, I mean, maybe the Red Woman, I don't know. I guess we don't have enough character for her. I mean, could be Tyrion, we could see something with Tyrion. I mean, a lot of the Starks have been through a lot, they've dealt with tragedy, but this is more like where you just like, it's like Jamie's the one character that just can't get, in Jorah, they can't get anything right. You say, what are you thinking? Every time you say, can we sit down for a second? I mean, with Jamie, it makes a little more sense because he's just like devastatingly handsome. Where he says, well, I just got to look at me, man. I make my own decisions, I don't have to think about it. I say, okay. And Ser Jorah does have a rugged handsomeness to him, but, he has a bit of handsomeness to him, too. I don't know. Could it be Khaleesi? I'm trying to think of what other... I mean, Sansa's definitely had... Her journey's gotten... She's had ups and downs. I don't know. Jaime and Ser Jorah have had moments. I don't know. I just think about him so we'll see. Other things I missed, other characters that had smaller journeys, Brienne of Tarth, of course, the Hound. So the Hound was one of the Lannisters' lackeys for a long time and got on Arya's bad list. then eventually hooked up with Arya at some point, and they were a crew, which was a cool crew. Then he hooked up on again and off again with the Brotherhood of Banners. And then at some point he took a visit, quick visit to the big farm in the sky. Then he hooked up with the Brotherhood of Banners again. Eventually hooked up with, and he's in Jon Snow's crew with the Brotherhood of Banners, which is like the best. I mean, right currently, even before Khaleesi got there, that's probably the best crew to be in. So there's that. And in that, I guess I'd have to rewatch those episodes. I don't even know who's like around. I'd have to watch that last couple of two episodes again. But I'm sure I missed a lot. Of course I did. I mean, we had Tyrion's journey. Kind of Tyrion's been around, like in a very similar way. You have Bronn, who's kind of like Jaime's. He was originally Tyrion's sidekick. Then he's become Jaime's sidekick. I'm sure maybe he'll return to being Tyrion's sidekick again. Bronn's a sellsword. Tyrion's the smarter, but more conscious. Like makes his decisions. Now, I guess there's moralist. He's the most intellectual character, I guess, probably. I mean, Varys, maybe. Khaleesi, so eventually Tyrion's gone from being a Lannister to in the Khaleesi crew. But at the last episode, I say, well, what's going to happen to Tyrion next? Bronn was like shortly for a short time in Catelyn's crew, but then he joined up with Tyrion. But he's kind of like, it's the character. We have the characters in the South. We haven't really heard from, I don't know if we'll hear from them again. The Bravosi. I don't know if we'll hear from any of the Bravosi again. I mean, we get to deal with that dude, Euron. Sooner the better for him. And he's from that island. I forget about that character. Theon Greyjoy. Who's that? That name just popped in my head. Is that who I'm thinking it is? Is Theon, like, there's another tragic character. Is that who Theon is? Greyjoy's. Yeah, there's Euron Greyjoy. So Theon, I think, he's like, holy cow. He's another one, but he's unlucky. No, he makes poor decisions too. So I guess, like, for me, the tragic characters are the ones that make the worst decisions. I mean, because the characters are trying to make the best decisions they can. They're just always terrible. So you have a triad of Jaime, Theon, and who's the other person? I already forgot. Ser Jorah. Theon is like, he was just it's complicated, but he was kind of like a living with the Starks as like a guest. And like as a bargaining guest, but kind of part of the family, but never totally part of the family. He definitely had an inferiority thing. He wasn't as handsome as the Stark boys. I mean, just a fact, or quite as skilled. So he's always trying too hard. And then he had those issues where he wanted to go home, but he wasn't welcome at home and never good enough. So he's gone on quite a journey too. I mean, just a brilliant show overall. I mean, I guess like you're trying to put six seasons or whatever and remember them all in 50 minutes isn't easy. But yeah, that's a little bit of the tale of the tape of what I remember of the first six or seven seasons of Game of Thrones. Just to get you caught up for this season that's about to start soon. Good night.